chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. The title of my sermon is How to Give. And Jesus is going to continue his Sermon on the Mount. It may seem that he is just random in how he addresses things, but as Jerry read earlier at the end of chapter 5, what does he say? He says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," and he's talking about love for enemies, but he's also going to be talking about here moving forward, what is to be our motivation. It is to be like God's motivation as we do things such as the spiritual disciplines of giving, prayer, and fasting. Now, we're going to camp out in the Lord's Prayer for a few weeks, but today he is going to address giving. He is confronting the Pharisees' motivation for practicing the spiritual discipline of giving. And so we need to apply this to our lives today. And some of you may be saying, what does this have to do with contemporary life? What does this have to do with my life? What difference is this going to make? This is going to be a boring sermon, which most of mine are boring sermons, but the Word of God is not boring, okay? And it is to be applied to our life, not just in the area of giving here this morning as we look at this text, but in all areas of our life. What is our motivation for doing what we do? That is where Jesus is going this morning, is he's going directly at the heart. Not outward performance, but the heart. And when it comes to the Word of God, what is your view of the Word of God? Does it carry with it weight and authority? If so, then as you hear this message today, you will recognize that it is God speaking to you. And you will also acknowledge that you need to be transformed. No, we cannot be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, but it points us to the gospel. It points us to our need for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So this sermon is very relevant today, as is every jot and tittle of God's Word. The 19th century Scottish commentator John Brown wrote this: "The mind is renewed when, under the influence of the Spirit, the truth is understood and believed, so as to displace the ignorance and error that previously prevailed. It is the truth, understood and believed, that purifies the heart from the love of the world. And, just in proportion as that truth is understood and believed, are men transformed. It is by men's being formed to a right way of thinking that they are formed to a right way of feeling and acting with regard to this world and the next, to God and our brethren of mankind." Do you want the truth to displace ignorance today, sinfulness today, love of this world? Well, listen to what Jesus has to say. If you would stand with me this morning in the honor of the reading of God's Word. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." May God bless the reading of his Word. You may be seated today. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So as we come to this passage of Scripture, verse 1 of chapter 6, this is going to be the main theme for the next 18 verses. And Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So what is he saying here, that we are not to do good deeds so that people can see them? That is not what he's saying, because if you go back earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, he said that we're to let our light shine before men so that they may see our good deeds and give praise to the Father who is in heaven, to God who is in heaven. So what is he saying here? He is saying, what is your motivation for practicing those good deeds, for practicing righteousness? If it's in order to be seen by others and praised by others, then guess what? You have lost your reward that is in heaven. You have received your only reward, which is the praise of men. Now, to practice self-righteousness means that you have the view that you are morally superior, that you're correct, that you can do no wrong. Okay? This is what the Pharisees believed, because they had created this system of man-made traditions that they believed protected them from violating the law. So they viewed themselves as morally superior, and they wanted to be recognized for being morally superior. They didn't really understand the law, that God is not concerned about the outward performance. He is concerned about the heart. What is your motivation for doing what you do? You see, the Pharisees wanted to be recognized for giving to the poor. Figuratively speaking, they sounded a trumpet so that everyone would know how righteous they were in giving to the poor. Oh, look at them. Look at what they've done. The praise of men. Now, we set before ourselves heroes in this life. We're a hero culture. We like to follow people and images of people. Charity is something that is promoted often in our media, and people are recognized for their charitable donations. Many times it has to do with a connection to Hollywood. And so you have the Oprahs and the Angelina Jolies of the world who give to good causes, and they are celebrated for giving to those good causes. There are good things that can be done. War-torn countries are helped, AIDS victims, orphans. I mean, I would even agree that we need to help animals that are being mistreated and hurt. Why? Because we are stewards of God's creation, right? He has told us to exercise dominion over it. When we see something that is not just, we need to be involved in bringing about justice and what is right and what is good. I am not condemning the Hollywood elite or the Hollywood people who for doing these charitable donations, but before we set them up as heroes, what are their motivations for doing what they do? We must screen everything through the lens of Scripture, right? Not that we can ever know the heart of a person, but what is the motivation for the good that is done? That's what Jesus is addressing today. And as disciples, we're not to be hypocrites. We are not to seek the praise of men. We are to seek the praise of God. But yet, even as Christians, we can be self-seeking. We can want all eyes on us. We enjoy the praise of men. I think the fact that social media exists so that we can promote ourselves is evidence of this, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Now, I don't always post, and don't think that your pastor's sitting there when you do post and saying, oh my gosh, you know, that person's self-seeking. That is not the initial thing that comes to mind. I don't post often because I'm a pretty boring person. And I'm a pretty private person. But, you know, you don't need to know when I'm going to the bathroom or not. You don't need to know these things about me. I'm a private person. I just don't do that, okay? That doesn't mean that everything that's on there is evil. I am just saying, I think it gives us an indication of of the truth that we do seek the praise of men. So Jesus is saying, don't be a hypocrite. If you're proclaiming to be one thing, don't go and do something else or not do this, even though you are acting as if you are that type of person. Now, granted, when it comes to the church, we talk about not wanting to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. I mean, D. James Kennedy says, that's all right, there's always room for one more. He adds, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, you'll ruin it. But here's what the world does not see, and maybe you don't see today. We are only hypocrites if we say that we do not sin. Let me repeat that. This is the only organization that I know of that requires the acknowledgement that you be a sinner in order to join. It is only those who say that I am without sin that are the hypocrites. As R.C. Sproul says, hypocrisy is pretending to be something you are not, or trying to get people to believe that you are not doing a certain thing that in fact you are doing. The Greek word itself, John MacArthur says, has its origin in the Greek theater, describing a character who wore a mask. The term is used in the New Testament, normally described an unregenerate person who was self-deceived. R.C. Sproul, same thing. In the New Testament, the hypocrite is one who claims to have a relationship with God and to love righteousness, but is self-seeking and even deceived. So do you understand here where he's talking about? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't put on that facade. Don't put on that mask. Don't say that you're doing something when you're not doing it. And vice versa. So as we think upon this topic, I also think that preachers need to take some responsibility and blame for those who do want to act hypocritical. And what I mean by that is we put so much pressure on you. And I just want you to understand, when Jerry read that text this morning, I know I was just sitting there and I was thinking, there's got to be some people in the congregation that are thinking, I'm just not perfect. But yet the Word says that I'm going to be perfect like the Father is perfect. I just want to say to you, I hope you have the understanding that we are not here saying that you can be perfect. The fact is we're saying you can't be perfect. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here's the gospel. We're offering you the good news. And I am not in any way setting in judgment upon you or being critical of you. I want what is good for you. I want the Lord's best for you. I don't want to put so much pressure on you that you reject Christianity or that you become a hypocrite. You fear that you're going to be rejected by others because you're not acting the way that you think righteous people ought to act. This is not a play. This is reality. This is not theater. This is real life. And I want you to know right now, I know some of you think that I ought to be more spiritual than you because of the standard in James 3:1 that a teacher is held to a higher standard. The reason I share things with you about my own struggles in life is I want you to understand you're not alone. You're not alone. That is why we are here. Is we are a spiritual hospital for the sick. And the only way that we can be hypocrites is to say that we are without sin. And we do it often by being self-righteous. And that pride lulls us into that self-righteousness. I don't know what it is about God's Word and Christianity, but it can puff up. It can make us feel like we are morally superior to everyone else. Listen, you are who you are. I am what I am, the Apostle Paul says, all because of the grace of God. It is not of myself. It is not of my doing. This pride that creeps into self-righteousness, or is the cause of self-righteousness, is so destructive of our spiritual lives, of our relationships, even in the area of giving. I want you to know it's self-righteous to give to someone and then lord it over them. It is self-righteous to give to someone, say you don't have to pay us back, and then secretly expect them to pay you back. I've heard and I've had people in church tell me about all the great things they have done for the Lord. They'll just begin reciting a list. And this is, I'm not particular to Gum Springs. I'm talking about in my ministry. And all I hear is I, me. Look at what I have done. I have had people who will come to me and say that they want to give anonymously, yet they want me to know that they have given anonymously. What is our reason? What is our motivation for giving? Are we giving for the glory of God, the praise of God, or the praise of men? And I know that this may be offensive, and you may not want to celebrate me here in a few minutes. Which God's got to have a sense of humor that I'm talking about this fail right in. I'm preaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm talking about not having the praise of men when I'm about to receive a potluck dinner in my honor. I'm not saying that you shouldn't encourage people. We should encourage one another. Are we really giving for the glory of God and the praise of God when anything that we give to the church, we have to be recognized for giving it? We have to have a plaque on it or a name on it or recognition publicly from the pulpit. Not saying that we can't do those things, but what is the motivation? Why are we doing what we do? The natural person cannot see their own hypocrisy. It requires the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Hypocrite does not see his pride. And even as spiritual people, sometimes we need to have our hypocrisy pointed out to us, right? Do you remember Galatians chapter 2 where Peter, hey, I'm going to eat with the Gentiles, but then all of these ruling Jews from Jerusalem have come down and he's like, no, I don't want to eat with the Gentiles. I'm going to eat with the Jews now. And Paul has called him out for his hypocrisy. Sometimes we are so deceived that we can't see our own self-righteousness, our hypocrisy. Our pride gets in the way and we become self-seeking. We say, I deserve this. I'm not like so-and-so. I'm a good person. I will get to heaven because I am a good person. I've always treated others fairly. When you start using terms such as always and never, just realize you're already in the wrong. I like to use that with Jerry. I'm already wrong. Says it come out of my mouth. All right? But no, are you getting me here? We as Christians, we like to promote the goodness of self and of others. And we talk about goodness in the sense of that person is earning their way into heaven because we're a merit-based people. We think that you have to check off a list in order to get merit or to be rewarded. And yes, we can talk about a person and all the good deeds that they have done, but I hope you understand when it comes to the funeral time that talking about the goodness of that person will not get them into heaven. We are only getting into heaven through repenting and believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He is the gatekeeper. He is the gate. The Bible says in Isaiah 2:17, the pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. What is your motivation? It's easy to point out hypocrisy in someone else, right? Have you ever asked God to evaluate your own life? To show you the truth about who you are? Where you need correction? Where you need to be transformed by His Word? Have you opened yourself up? Do you have that desire? I want you to know today that giving coming back to this topic and giving to the needy, giving is to be for the glory of God. Giving is because we delight in the Lord. Because we want to please Him. We want to draw attention to His name. Giving of your time to brothers and sisters in Christ is to be done for the glory of God. The sermon on this text, as I'm preaching it, is to be done for the glory of God. The music and songs that we do are to be given, are to be done for the glory of God. It is about magnifying Him. It is about celebrating Him. It is about aligning ourselves with His will. It's not about us. It is not about personal preferences. Humility seeks the praise of God. Humility seeks the exaltation of God. Do we want that private reward, what is done in secret? Or are we looking for the public reward of the praise of men? Do we blow our own trumpet? Let me give you an illustration. Maybe this will hit a little bit closer to home. And when I use illustrations, some of you say, that man's poor wife, he just abuses her from the pulpit. I hope that you're smart enough to realize that anything I say from the pulpit in this relationship makes me look bad and her good. So before you go on about me beating her up, I am actually mocking myself. I hope we got some clarity there. If we don't have clarity there, then you may not be as smart as I think you are, and I'm giving you too much credit. And you might just be a French fry short of a Happy Meal. I'm not sure. All right? I work two jobs. I'm pastor of this church, and I work another job. I'm not saying this to celebrate myself. Put a lot of hours in, driving back and forth from Nashville, whatever it may be, ministering to the congregation. I don't do much at home. Now, men, before you start getting some idea that you can get away with this, and wives, before you start giving me the stink eye, just know that I have an amazing wife. And she has a servant's heart, and I hope she's making it for the glory of God, the coffee that she makes and brings me every morning. She makes my lunch every day. She serves our family well. She washes my dirty drawers. She is truly, and I'm not saying this for brownie points, she serves. She does not say, hey, look at me, look at what I have done for you. Now, every now and then, I'll get a wild hair because I think I'm so great. And I will do things like clean off the top of my dresser, which is where I come in and I clean out all my pants and I stick it there. I've got receipts, change, usually a firearm of some sort. Hey, make America great again. Donald Trump. All right. Clean out all my receipts. I take receipts for everything. I got receipts for everything. I keep every receipt. She doesn't understand, but if I buy gas, I'm getting a receipt at the gas thing just in case they cheat me and try to steal money out of my account, but she doesn't believe in that. But anyway, she's cleaned off my dresser a million times. I clean it off. She's gone. I'm sitting in my recliner. As soon as she walks in, my expectation is for her to go directly to that dresser and see that I've cleaned it off. And when she doesn't do that, and I wait like 5 minutes, I'll be like, you didn't notice I cleaned off that dresser? Blowing my own trumpet. All right? Now, I use that because we want accolades. We want to be recognized. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with encouragement, like Barnabas, who was the son of encouragement, to build each other up. But we are a society and a people who love accolades. It's ESPY Awards, CMA Awards, the Oscars, the Emmys. It's proof that humanity wants to be recognized. But the Bible says here, as the Pharisees are blowing their trumpets, Jesus says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. This is countercultural, right? This is another text that we want to evade, right? John MacArthur says, to not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing was possibly a proverbial expression that simply referred to doing something spontaneously with no special effort or show. The right hand was considered the primary hand of action. And in a normal day's work, the right hand would do many things as a matter of course that would not involve the left hand. Giving to help those in need should be a normal activity of the Christian, and he should do it as simply, directly, and discreetly as possible. Wow. That goes against. I like being recognized. I like talking about my celebrate day. God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? He's correcting us every step of the way. God desires the right heart affection in giving. You go and read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, and the Apostle Paul teaches us that we are to do things joyfully and cheerfully. We are to give of our time and our resources and our finances. And I'm not turning this into a tithing sermon, but it's a sermon about giving. We are to give of ourselves and to do so joyfully. The Pharisees couldn't do that. Therefore, they wanted the public recognition of men because that was their joy. But if we are delighting in the Lord, just simply serving Him and giving ourselves away, there's joy in that. We're a volunteer organization. I have to have volunteers everywhere. VBS is coming up. We've begged for volunteers. We've had sign-up sheets. You know that as the pastor, I shouldn't have to guilt you into serving. Matter of fact, I shouldn't even have to ask. Because you so delight in the Lord that you want to give yourself away. You want to give of your time. You want to give of your resources. Not because you want to impress the pastor, even though you probably could. But because you want to be pleasing to God. Because He has commanded it. This is what He has called you to be and to do. You can go in to different passages of Scripture, which I will not delve into today. Go and read about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They lie to the Lord about the gift that they are given. They want the recognition of man. They want to have prominence in the church. God says, why are you lying against the Spirit of God? Why are you lying against me? And do you know what happens to them? They die. Now, it seems like the Lord is extending us great grace and mercy here today in 2019. But that was the punishment. What about Cain and Abel? Did God make a distinction about the gifts because Abel brought an animal sacrifice and Cain brought a grain offering and he liked the animal sacrifice better than the grain offering? No. Matter of fact, He makes no distinction whether you give $100 into this offering plate or you give $1,000 into this offering plate or you give $10 in this offering plate or as I just saw my son give, I believe was $1 into the offering plate. The amount is not what God is looking at. He is looking at your heart. He is looking at, are you doing this by faith? Because you see, Hebrews 11:4 tells us why God accepted and had regard for Abel's offering. Because he did it in faith. And without faith, you cannot be pleasing to the Lord. I don't believe the Pharisees were joyful and cheerful givers. And you know who complains the most about giving of their time and money and resources? It's those who don't give in the first place. R.C. Sproul talks about having a conversation with the head of a large ministry that told him every time the organization asked people to give, letters of protest came back. He said that when someone complains about a request for giving, he goes immediately to his donor record, and 99 times out of 100, he said, the person complaining about the request to give is someone who doesn't give. He goes on, we do not like to be told to give if we are not giving. However, when we are giving from the heart, such requests do not bother us because we know it is what God expects from His people. To do that which is pleasing to God, not to men. It is said that there was a special out-of-the-way place in the temple where shy, humble Jews could leave their gifts without being noticed. Another place nearby was provided for the shy poor who did not want to be seen asking for help. Here they would come and take what they needed. The name of the place was the Chamber of the Silent. People gave and people were helped, but no one knew the identities of either group. What am I getting at for you today? What is your motivation for doing what you do, including giving? How is your relationship with the Lord? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? What is your motivation for being here today? What is your motivation for serving? What is your motivation for gathering in a place of worship today? This is Jesus is drilling down. It's always about the heart issue, not the outward performance. When the mind is transformed, behavior will be modified. But we are not in the business of behavioral modification. Many people believe that's what Christianity is, or sin management. Listen, we are about pointing you to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will transform your mind, your heart, your soul, your life. And all these other things will follow. So today, I want you to know that we all struggle with our motivation in doing what we do. So if you haven't ever been here before, you've only recently been coming, please hear me clearly. I am not pointing you to sinless perfection. I am pointing you to honesty and truth. Let's be an authentic people. Let's put down the facade. Let's stop wearing the mask. We're sinners. And we need a Savior. We need the gospel. We need the generosity in our spirit that God has demonstrated to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That demonstrates His love, His generosity. Let us be filled with Jesus today. Let us pray. Oh Lord, forgive us for seeking public reward and not private reward, the praise of men instead of praise from You. Forgive us, Lord, for just totally disregarding Your word. Grant us repentance today, revival in our life. Lord, may we see ourselves clearly today, which can only happen by Your grace. I pray, Lord, that Your word, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, has brought conviction upon us today. Lord, we need to be changed and transformed. We need our minds renewed so that what follows is a new creation, transformed lives. May we trust in the authority of Your word. May we trust in Your grace and mercy and love. Lord, grant us repentance today, an application of Your word to our lives. We love You, and we thank You for being our God. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, how will you respond? Have you heard the Lord? Have you read His word and been brought to conviction? Are you being transformed? Has your mind been renewed? Will you come today and desperately call upon the Lord? And guess what? He will answer you. He will change you. Would you come this morning? Would you stand with me as we sing, I Surrender All?